Welly, 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 I'm back in Canada, and hopefully this wind isn't too strong to mess up the recording, but yeah, just walking through the fucking frozen tundra, the wind freezing me to death. It's pretty fucking classic Canada shit right now. Though I really don't mind the cold. I mean, I was really getting tired of sweating to death every fucking day, you know? Like, I was in South Korea, and then I kept going south down to Jeju off the southern coast of South Korea, and then I went even farther south to Taiwan, and I can't even imagine. I mean, that's still a subtropical area. If you went even farther south and it was even hotter than that, holy fuck. So I do like being back in the cold. I just like cold better. My day-to-day routine, getting bundled up for the cold, I much prefer to just sweating and sweating and sweating. But there have been some days here where it's like it stings your face. And like the wind is just so out of control. It's like God is fucking slapping you over and over. It's like angering. It's like, are you fucking kidding right now? But even with that, I mean, I just like the cold. I like it. But the terrain, just the terrain. Great googly moogly. I mean, fucking, you know, Montreal is like an interesting city to walk around. Vancouver is a little more like Asia, just in the sense that there's, you know, access to woods and some mountains and stuff, more so than usual in Canada. Toronto, man, I just don't know what to say. I mean, it's been great seeing people. And I guess that's always what I liked about Toronto, is when I lived here and I was just like, had roommates and we did stuff. We were always going out, hanging out, doing things. That's what makes Toronto fun. The people that you know here and the stuff that's happening here. Just the actual terrain of the place. It is just, I mean, I guess I said this last time I was in Toronto in those episodes, but it's just endless urban stuff. Endless. Literally, you know, all the way to every single city border and then beyond and beyond and beyond. Oh, this is actually getting pretty bad. This wind is getting pretty bad. Fuck. Yeah, that hurts. That hurts on the ears. And I got two hoods and a winter hat on. Fuck. Hold on, I can maneuver my neck warmer so that it also covers my ears. Ah, the life of the tundra. But yeah, it's been really great seeing people because between COVID and then going to Asia for a year, it's been literally 5 years since I've been back here. But saw my old gang, we all just slipped right into things like nothing. Everybody's kids are older, but we ourselves don't seem any different. So that's nice. That nice middle ground in life where we're not all getting noticeably older yet. So that was delightful. But, you know, everyone has jobs and stuff, so during the week I'm just on my own. And in that sense, I've also just slipped right back into the Canada life, and specifically the Toronto life. Like, no time has passed, but that's not a good thing in this case. It's just like, oh man. I'm at the edge of town, I'm by Finch West Station, just because that's where I got a pretty good deal on an Airbnb. So it's by a train, you know, it's not that bad. It's easy enough to go rendezvous with people. But it also did help, I think, when I lived here, that I lived by the Duff Mall, not exactly downtown, but close enough. A much more interesting neighborhood. Out here on the outskirts, it is car culture, for sure. It's just huge, huge, huge blocks, like big, long streets with just box stores, and that's it. And that's where, like, you know, I feel like I'm spoiled and not spoiled at the same time. Like, all I want out of life, really, I feel like is fairly simple. Just want to wake up in a dumb little room with a bed in it. Doesn't need to have anything fancy. Just want to wander outside, go to a convenience store, and just walk around and go soak in a place. You know, I don't need big TVs and vehicles and fancy shit. I don't need anything. I just want to wake up, walk around, go home, go to bed. So in that sense, I feel like I'm not asking for much. The problem is, I guess, for the interesting terrain and the interesting infrastructure that fits with being a pedestrian, it just doesn't, it's, you know, North America is just not the place. So that's where I'm spoiled. It's like, oh, I kind of want this sort of simple life, but it just, in order for it to function properly, I have to be on the other side of the world. That's where it gets tricky and expensive, and like, I'm lucky that I got to do that. But it really just, yeah, the day-to-day works so much better. It's so much more interesting in those other countries where I could just wake up and just go outside, and it's just interesting and exciting. And yeah, even just the convenience stores are fun. And then I could just get on transit and go somewhere where there's a fucking mountain and climb up the mountain and see cool, weird statues and stuff. Every day was just interesting. And I think I made the right choice to just sort of park my writing while I was there. Because what I was doing, I still have my little travel podcast, the Roaming Holiday Podcast, where I'm still just putting out episodes that I recorded while I was traveling. So I'm still, I'm in Busan in that podcast. So I get little, to go remember stuff as I'm editing, like, oh yeah. And what I was doing at that point was one day on, one day off. Like one day I would go to a coffee shop and do some writing, and then the next day I would not do that. I would go out and explore the world. And then I gave up on the writing part and I just explored. And I do think that was a good call, because the time went by fast, so I'm glad I soaked in as much as I could over there. So now I'm back in boring old Canada. It's like, all right, let's get back to writing every day. But that's the other thing that's wild, is that even if I didn't just go explore the edges of how far I could get on transit and just go hike up mountains and go do the exploratory version of visiting Asia, even if I did just go over there to go to coffee shops and write, it's still so much more interesting there than it is here. Here it's like, you know, I've got some options for coffee shops and stuff, but not a ton, and it's this long, awful, boring walk to get to them through the car culture to end all car cultures, just fucking highway grids. Everything is flat, everything is just kind of bland. And then when I get to the coffee shop, you know, maybe it's just a Tim Hortons, maybe it's a little more interesting than that. But even if it is, like, I went to a place, Aroma Coffee, today, that, you know, it's pretty cool. They give you a little tiny square of chocolate with your drink. I don't know, it's all right. But it's like $7 also for a drink. Or you can go to Tim Hortons and spend $1.50, but then that's just like Tim Hortons. Like, just blah. You know, it's like going to Dunkin' Donuts to write your novel. So even in that sense, like, even if I had just gone over to Asia to be a writing guy, it still was like so much more interesting, because it's so much easier to travel around to different neighborhoods on transit. And just the coffee shop culture is so awesome over there. I mean, South Korea is crazy about coffee. I think technically, you know, there's more coffee shops and stuff in America, but only because America's huge. Per capita, they gotta be number one in South Korea. They love coffee. And I found Adia Coffee was my favorite chain over there. But there's a million types of coffee shops. And yeah, just, again, so much more fun to get up in the morning and go to a coffee shop. And in Taiwan, it was Luisa Coffee was my favorite. Because it just, you know, had a good vibe. It was just cool. I just liked it. I didn't have a super clear favorite in Japan. I kind of leaned toward Tully's, but I didn't feel the same kinship as with Adia and Luisa. But yeah, just that. I mean, even that's just like, I'm trying not to, you know, be all down about, oh, here I am in Toronto. It is what it is. I'm a Canadian citizen. I had to come back eventually. But it's just weird to realize that even if I didn't want to go hike up mountains and explore stuff, even if I just wanted to do the quote-unquote boring version of that trip where I just hung out at coffee shops, it's still much, much more interesting. And each day just felt more fascinating than it does here. Here, it's just like, I always think of that Futurama thing where Fry has this food called Bachelor Chow. And it's just, you know, utilitarian. It's like a big bag of dog food that he just pours water on and he just eats it. that's how life feels here. It's just the bachelor chow of life. Like, I did a big 2-hour walk down Jane Street the other day to get to one of my friend's new places. And again, hanging out with my friends was great. But the walk there, where, like, if you walked for 2 hours in any Asian city, the amount of stuff you see is, like, crazy. The density of stuff. It's so goddamn interesting. Where here, it's like, there's another Dollarama, there's another Pizza. Toronto's really good for restaurants, though. It is insanely multicultural. I'll give it big points for that. But yeah, just as a place, you know, that's where, like I was saying at the start, in some ways, my desires in life are very simple. A dumb little room with a bed in it, a little pocket money to go to a convenience store and a coffee shop, a transit pass, the end. I'd be happy for the rest of my life with those things. But where it gets difficult is, is that I also just need volcanic island terrain that just doesn't exist around here. So that's the part where what I want is very hard to get and expensive to get. So simple and difficult at the same time is the life that I want. But anyway, it'll all loop around. Eventually I'll head off somewhere else. But for now, I'm here. So I'm reverting back to the kind of classic ideas of, you know, the daily writing routine and the idea that you can be free through structure. You know, get the structure going again. Go to the coffee shop every day, even if there's not a lot of options around here, even if it's not very interesting. That's fine. The part that'll be interesting is the delving into the book and delving into writing. And yeah, I'm happy that that part is going pretty well. Quite an easy transition back in. I spent so many years developing the daily writing habit that, you know, we're right back to where we were. I'm still very shocked how little I get done every day. I mean, just now, I just sat at that fucking Aroma coffee shop for like 2.5 hours. And I don't have a ton to show for it, but I got some. I got some. That's all that matters. Just a little bit. Just get a little farther every time. Yeah, I'm also just where I happen to be. I'm by York University. Oh man, just this wind is just blowing snow across this field. It looks really cool. Sure is cold though. Fucking sure is cold. But yeah, since I'm by this university, as soon as noon hits, everything goes fucking bananas and everything is fucking real busy. So yeah, that's what has been getting me up and getting me going. Just get there before noon. Like today, I got there at like 10 o'clock, not exactly early in the morning, but it's just nice and empty-ish, and like the little counter where I was sitting has just got nobody there. I can just go hole up in the corner and, you know, I don't feel bad that I'm taking up a spot for 2 hours. But if I get there later in the day, yeah, then it's no good. Then it's like, uh-oh. Tons of people everywhere. People that are buying entire meals and stuff. They're, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm spending $7 on a coffee. But they're spending $30 on a whole thing. They deserve the space more than me. So that's been good motivation to just get up in the morning, get over there before it gets busy. Then I don't feel bad about monopolizing a spot because there's lots of free spots. While everyone is in class. Oh, this lady is pushing a kid in a stroller, and it's like the stroller is like fully enclosed. It's got little transparent plastic around so that the direct wind isn't hitting the kid, but still, fucking shit, it is so wildly cold out here. It's like, what the fuck? Oh, speaking of Jane Street, that's where I was heading from Finch to Jane. I'm already there, and now it'll become all loud and trafficy, so I should stop talking to myself. Yeah, let's take a quick little detour. Because I guess all I want to say is just that, yeah, I'm back back onto the routine finally. And I guess it's kind of funny being back in Toronto, because yeah, it does just feel like I was just here yesterday. I mean, I was here yesterday, but like I just was here recently. And it's reminding me of those days where, like when I started this podcast, I was in Vancouver. And again, just much easier to find something to do, you know, like the first episode of this podcast was a nice little, like, along the edge of the mountain nature walk out in Burnaby. You could stop at a Tim Hortons and then walk on a nature path. Not bad. Around here, there just isn't that stuff. And I was thinking back to, oh yeah, when I was here last time, I bought a transit pass and I would just sit on the subway just to have, I don't know, a goal, something to do in my routine. And I do remember, it just seems like a funny joke at this point, that I was talking about how I was getting close to the end last time I was in Toronto. So I went and looked that up and it's like, when was that? It was the episode, The Start of How It All Ends. I remember that because I named it after the Lord song, Yellow Flicker Beat. This is the start of how it all ends. They used to shout my name, now they whisper it. It's a good song. My singing's not up to full power when I'm being blasted in the face by frigid winds. But yeah, I just remember that episode because I was talking about how this was my last chance to use my notes. Like, I had to go through my notes and see, like, what, in a more general sense, is there anything in here that I want to include in the story that should go in here? Because this is it. This is the last chance. I'm entering the last segment of the story where I can no longer go back and use this stuff. And that just seems funny talking about approaching the end, because I went and looked it up. That was December 2019. And it is 2025 now. February 2025. So a little over 4 years that I've been, quote unquote, approaching the end. That's kind of like a bad joke now. Like, fuck, I'm slow. And I mean, you know, obviously I'm always slow and I just made my peace with it. But I guess, semi in my defense, I mean, after that was when COVID happened. And that was some truly ridiculous shit of just like all the coffee shops being closed and being in my little hometown. And I just remember taking my fucking Chromebook out into the woods and setting it up on a fallen tree like it was a desk and doing writing out there because I had nowhere else to go. And I just don't like writing at home. I don't like that stir crazy feeling. And then my computer started shutting off because it was so cold. And then I got a little folding chair and just set it up out in the snowy field somewhere. It's just fucking insane. I mean, that was COVID, you know? That shit was weird. And then I went to Asia, and like I was saying, I don't regret that I took the year off, you know? Keeping up my writing out there was just hard to do. And out there, it's just exploring random mountains and shit was way more important to me. Where here in Toronto, what's the trade-off? I'll sit at the coffee shop and do writing, or what? Or nothing. There's nothing else to fucking do. So, now we're back on the writing. But yeah, still funny that that was that long ago, that I was approaching the end, quote unquote. But I really am at the end now, like no joke. You know, like this is it. I don't have notes anymore. There's nothing left. Whatever notes I had for this last chapter, I just arranged them in order. I didn't have as many as I expected. I feel like I wrote a lot of stuff about the end of this book, but I guess it's more that I just thought about it a lot. Thought about the songs that would play or whatever. Or I guess it's that I did have a lot of notes about the end, but this is the end. The end. The titular explosion has happened. Sarat's in her little pod going to rendezvous. It's just connected to the ship where she is going to meet up with her fellow Therium. And now she's got to just walk down the hallway and meet them. And then the book is over. That's it. That is it. It's so the end that it's like ridiculously close. It's a weird feeling because this like feeling the character has of like the sort of nervousness, the apprehension of going to meet these people that she's deliberately not met up to this point. You know, all of the Aetherium have kept themselves isolated from each other as they try to parse the trauma of their homeworld exploding. Now they're all together. So this feeling she has of walking down the hallway and like the nervousness of it, I feel that in real life. It's like, man, once we get to the end of that hallway, this is it. This fucking book is over. And then that's a whole new world of editing a book. And then what happens after that and blah, blah, blah. But whatever, like the whole mission statement of this podcast, how to write a novel, it's going to be done very, very soon. How to edit a novel, how to market a novel, all this shit. That's all. I'm not saying I won't talk about that stuff, but that's all other stuff. That was never the concern, really. The concern is just I never seem to finish a novel. Let's do it. Let's finish a novel. And whoops, it took 3 or 4 times longer than I thought. But who cares? I did it. I made it. I'm going to be there any second. But then what? You know, then there's a whole new world of stuff. So that's a weird feeling. But it is interesting because I am remembering stuff, you know, of just like I just, the way things have been the whole way through this novel, it still is that way of, I don't want to just skip past stuff. I don't want to skip from A to C. I need it to be A to B to C. So for example, when her pod is drifting up through space toward the main ship, I can't just write, she drifted up to the ship and it connected and she entered, you know? It's like, that's not enough. But I don't have any notes. I don't have anything. So I've just got to see what happens in the moment. But it is just very interesting that stuff is still happening in the moment. Like, I can just feel the pace. I can know if I'm moving too fast. I can know there should be details here, even if I don't know what they are. And already stuff like that has started to appear. Like, the main station was called the Tessima Volcorna, but now that it has exploded, I mentioned how this ship that she's arranged for herself and the other Aetherium, it seems large now. It was much smaller than the station, but when there's nothing left but escape pods, now it's the big ship. So as she drifts up towards it, she realizes, like, oh, I never named this thing. And she thinks, like, maybe she'll just let one of the others name it, you know? Maybe they'll have a name they like a tribute to someone or something. And then I put that part in. But then I had all these other thoughts of, you know, she also doesn't want to just come in and start laying down the law, start flexing her authority by saying, like, hey, here's the name of the ship, I chose it. Like, she's just not sure how the power structure is going to be. Because she, as far as she knows, is the youngest. So depending on how her culture works, you know, I mean, if we just go with the standards of how things usually work, the elders are going to want to be in control, but they're just not in control. They can't be because she's the one connected up to the Akamulon. I hope this isn't your first episode of this podcast. None of this shit would make any fucking sense that I'm saying. But yeah, she wants things to go smoothly. She doesn't want to necessarily just like flex the fact that she's in charge. And she doesn't even really want to be in charge, you know? But she just, due to the circumstances of how things are, she is. She's going to have to be. But surely that could go smoother than if she just shows up and starts making proclamations like, here's what the ship's called, or here's where we're going, here's what we're doing. So it's going to be like a weird thing of like trying to establish some parity, even if true parity is not going to exist. Trying to find some balance between whatever their old culture was and the fact that it's going to have to be a new culture now. However, I didn't put any of that stuff in because all of that is just like, man, that's a lore dump. That's an info dump all of a sudden out of nowhere. So it's like, it was interesting of like, it was fun to come up with that stuff and to have those thoughts. But then the next day when I read it back, I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to cut all that. That's just too much. That's too much right now. Hopefully people will infer some of this type of stuff, or they'll have these thoughts themselves as they read the story. But again, the pace, it's like, I needed her to have some introspection time, not to just rush to the end, But not too much, because it's like, we're at the end. Like, shut up already. But anyway, truly am at the end. Truly am this time. So fucking close. It's a very weird feeling. But anyway, yeah, here we are. Back in the routine. Back in Canada. And, after Toronto, I'm heading back to my hometown, so... Yeah, I don't know. There is no escape from the uninspiring locales for the next little while. But that's all right, I guess. I'll just focus on, again, the routine. The quote-unquote boring routine is what frees up your brain to be able to do fun, interesting stuff in the writing side. I mean, I preferred it when I just had to wake up and walk out of my front door and just things were exciting and things were interesting. I've really been thinking about Taipei especially. That's really stuck in my mind. The 3 months I was there, what a great city. What a cool, fucking, super interesting city. But that's done for now. My just like life on easy mode, everything is just interesting because it's a whole new place and a new culture and a new situation that I'm not, you know, that I didn't grow up with. That's done for now. Now things are crushingly normal. But I'm back on the routine, the daily writing routine, and it, it is what it is. You know? Great stuff will come of it, even if it itself is there's not much to say about it. It's just like, whoop, here we are. Here we are, Ontario, Canada. The waiting room for interesting things to happen. The airlock before you go somewhere else. But all right, I keep trying to avoid the traffic-filled streets, but I can't anymore. I walked literally in every direction until I hit a road. So, just gonna have to go integrate with the traffic now. But there's my update. Thank you for listening. The end is nigh. The end is so soon. And then, of course, again, it's that thing of, like, getting to the end, quote-unquote, is actually getting to the start. The start of the process is, all right, you got a first draft of a novel. Things aren't even close to finished in the grand scheme. But as far as just the original mission statement, the original plan, how to write a novel, we're almost there. For Song of the Day, I've been listening to this band a lot called Tala, T-A-L-L-A-H. If you were a fan of metal music in the late 90s, early 2000s, which colloquially came to be known as nu metal, I was a huge fan of that shit, and I still am. And I love that it's like having a revival. It's kind of popping up again. And I don't know that I would quite call Tala a nu metal band, but it's nu metal adjacent, nu metal-ish for sure. And just cool, just a cool band. I love this vocalist, Justin Bonnitz, his name is. He's a playful fella. He just has so many different styles and he's just not afraid to like break out all these different types of, you know, he can just do the screaming vocals and he can do like little rap vocals and then he can just do like operatic vocals. And I like him. So this is their big song. This is their big million views on YouTube song, Overconfidence. They got a bunch of good songs, but this really is, man. As far as an introduction to this band, what a catchy fucking song. She's my crutch. I'm in need of her system. I'm marginally obsessed with the way I present myself. I overreact because that's how I roll. I've been told I am hysterical. Oh, I'm Armageddon, son. Oh, don't resent me as I bust this out. She requested my submission, and we all know how this one ends. I've been given this chance to entertain you. Yes, I'm a slave to the gain and the pain of my confidence. I wasn't it only to help you out. Lie in the darkness to save my life. I envision a world where the choices are made. Yes, I'm a slave to the gain and the burn and I drown in my confidence. He's a lot better than me. He writes cool lyrics too. I shot two bullets through the walls just to stand between the eyes of God to let him see, let him weep at the construct he cast aside. But I'm over it, cause I've been feeling so confident. What a cool song. Overconfidence by Tala. See you next episode for probably this fucking book to be done.
Just leave it part of the problem.